Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Friday. It's the 20th of September, a beautiful day, what promises to be a beautiful weekend, and we're all here on in this beautiful studio with beautiful people to talk about really horrible things. So, although we do have some rays of light, we'll be talking about those. Some of our did you just guffaw the rays of light out? No, have you?
Yes,
okay,
I did.
Okay.
No, I didn't. It was purely physical stuff.
Anyway, so we've got a lot going on. It's been a busy news day. I was I sent out some ideas last night, and then I sent out a couple more, and I said update, and then Judith wrote to me and said, "You're probably going to be updating all night."
Every hour
on the hour. Well, let me introduce the group to you. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Coffee.
You got coffee? You're in?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, great. You're caffeinated. You're ready. That's good. We also have Judith Enk with us. Judith is very busy today. We'll let her tell us what she's up to in just a moment. Senior fellow and visiting professor at Bennington College, founder of Beyond Plastics, former EPA regional administrator. Judith Enk is with us, and later on we'll be talking about the climate strike that is taking place across the United States of America, and I assume you will be active in that in these here parts.
Yeah, everyone go carpool and get to Albany by 11 or 1 or wherever it is in your community. You can look it up on 350.org.
Now the kids, right? This is all about the high school kids.
We call them young people.
Yeah. We call them young people. And how are the young people doing? They're ready to go?
Oh, the young people are great. They are well-informed, they're energized, and they are running out of patience.
And they have the most to lose.
Yeah,
they're the most screwed over by what we've done.
Young people and patience, they are running out. The question is, did they have it before? Sorry.
I'm sure you did, David.
I have children.
Teenagers.
The adolescent question, yes. Well, and if you are not in Albany, pretty much wherever you are, there is a climate strike going on.
Across the country. And it was so fun last night to see the reports from Australia and around the globe. And students are walking out at about 11 a.m., and then events throughout the day.
So we'll be talking about this as a news story, but you're going to be the one in Albany at 11?
Yep.
All right.
I'll be a little late.
Are you
going to
be speaking?
No. I want the voices of young people.
All right.
You're leading as the Pied Piper kids leaving school? Is that what you're admitting to me?
Talking
right now?
To the microphone there, and we'll be all set.
I'm just wondering if she's admitting to me right now.
No, a lot of schools are in on it, actually. Oh, okay.
Excused absences.
Oh, yes.
Okay. You don't just storm out and smoke cigarettes.
We called it bunking when I was a kid.
You're not the truant officer.
although some school districts are making it clear that teachers should not be participating.
No, teachers
should
know,
be there supporting students.
But they'll be out. It's excused absences.
Yeah,
they'll be marching, not vaping. It's all good.
New York City and Portland, the biggest school districts a few days ago, said they would, you can have an excused absence.
Yeah.
And it's totally voluntary. If students don't want to do it, they don't. And you can't just leave and not go to the march.
I think it's amazing that New York teachers may not go. They cannot attend because this would violate a policy of being politically neutral. So being in favor of the climate is now a political stance.
Mm. Well, especially when you're part of a union.
Exactly.
I mean, they're part of the teachers union. Yeah. How political is that?
I mean, they're being creatively responsive to this rule by saying, okay, well, then we'll spend the whole day talking about the environment and doing, sessions about climate change in school. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, outrageous.
Of course, you understand, Rosemary, as we all do, that politics is the authoritative allocation of scarce resources, and therefore this is very political.
Damn, that sounded good. I got to remember that.
David Soros.
You'll hear it again. You don't have to remember it.
Fire Island.
I prefer carbon neutral to neutral.
David Soros is with us, Albany County District Attorney. Good morning, sir.
Today provides a great day for the Jeff Spicolis of the world to skip Mr. Hand's class, for those of you who are Fast Times at Richmond High.
Oh, yes.
And who isn't?
And I just want to ask you, Joe, is it a beautiful day because it is a beautiful day or because Ray said so?
Oh, I didn't know Ray said it was a beautiful day. Ray actually declared it a beautiful day. I didn't know that. I just looked out and it was a pretty beautiful
formal
drive.
Ray declaration of it being a beautiful day. I'm going
to
listen.
It's extraordinarily positive for Ray.
Yeah, it is. That's good. Joe Bruschak is here, our good friend. He is.
For the birds today.
He's playing the flute.
Uh-oh, Alan's going to get his banjo.
David doesn't allow that.
No banjos.
I'm bringing an accordion next week.
Author, poet, novelist, storyteller, and scholar of Native American culture. While we're doing plugs, we'll quickly mention that on Sunday, there is the Saratoga Native American Festival that's happening in Saratoga Springs. And also, it is the kickoff to the 11th annual Saratoga Peace Week, and there'll be events for the Peace Fair, as well as the Native American Festival, the two kind of joining forces.
In cooperation, as a matter of fact, there'll be a procession from the Peace Festival down into the Native American Festival, led by some of our elders, like Tom Sakoniokwas Porter, he who wins, who is our Mohawk elder, always introduces our festival.
Well, a lot of good marching going on. So, yeah, as I said, we'll try to get some light. A lot of good action taking place this weekend. Rosemary Armeo is here.
Hi.
Investigative journalist. Good morning. How are you? Doing anything?
Nothing positive.
Creating any hell this weekend? No?
All right.
Well, then we'll just have to get in trouble the old-fashioned way through our show. Good morning, everyone. We welcome your letters. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. We have been sort of talking about this all week, and now one of the things we were talking about yesterday is, wow, this whistleblower story is starting to really gain momentum, but the New York Times hasn't written about it yet. And then somebody said, somebody on the panel said, by the end of the week, we'll know who he is talking to. And now we know all that. Mm-hmm. So the question is about the President of the United States. And this is what we know of as of right now. So there was a whistleblower complaint about President Trump. We now know that it involves Ukraine, according to two people familiar with the matter. This comes from the Washington Post. The last time I read a story from them about this subject, I mentioned that there were three reporters. There are now four working on this story.
They brought in their Ukraine and Russia experts.
Yes. So a whistleblower complaint about President Trump made by an intelligence official centers on Ukraine, according to two people familiar with the matter, which has set off a struggle between Congress and the executive branch. The complaint involved communications with a foreign leader and a quote-unquote promise that Trump made, which was so alarming that a U.S. intelligence official who had worked at the White House went to the Inspector General of the intelligence community, according to the two former U.S. officials. My question is, what could have been done in this climate with this president, and I know this sounds cynical, that they would have found so alarming?
Well, it could be what the news reporting is suggesting, and that is that the president said, reopen an investigation of my political opponent, Joe Biden, and his son, and in exchange, I will unfreeze the $250 million in military aid to Ukraine, which, by the way, they unfroze yesterday afternoon.
They did.
It's interesting, too, because...
In other words, a quid pro quo.
Yeah. Exactly. If you cue, the Nixon little debacle a few decades ago, you'll find there is an impeachable offense that is directly relevant to what was supposedly just done by President Trump.
Yeah, I think what we have to do is eliminate the word impeach or impeachable offenses from the modern lexicon, because it will never happen. You have
Mitch McConnell.
well, you have the complete abdication of the Constitution and responsibility. That all of these Republican members of the Senate and the House, took an oath to protect and preserve, that being the Constitution of the United States. There's been a complete abandonment, abdication of that responsibility. And so any discussions about impeachment, you can forget about it. And plus, if anything, this week for me has proven how hapless and feckless our Congress is, and yes. specifically our mm-hmm. Democrats. When you were treated to that hearing mm-hmm. where you watched one of the biggest clowns, I mean, this person is a clown.
That would be
Corey Lewandowski.
Corey the clown Lewandowski.
We had no trouble altogether recognizing now. Him.
Going before a national audience and acting in a way that, quite honestly, you know, my mom, if I was in a room acting that way, my mom shot me a look, I would know immediately mm-hmm. to just cut it out. But this mm-hmm. guy was allowed
thug.
To
he was a thug.
Flounder. Because yep. he's a clown, but he's also a punk. Mm-hmm. And Instead, I've said this to a friend of mine now, Mr. Shartok, who I said a long time ago, I said, Congress, you need to go out and hire prosecutors who mm-hmm. are retired or prosecutors who have a certain skill set and let them join the brigade in all of the questioning and all the interviews. Because you know what? With the exception of a very few congressmen, I have not been impressed at all.
And women.
What did you think of the prosecutor
they did bring in? He actually broke it open.
He broke it open, and that's the guy that gets 10 minutes at the end.
Right. But it would take giving up your own hubris and ego to turn it over to a prosecutor rather than to make your own speeches. I think you've hit the nail on the head. This goes beyond presidential action. This is Congress mm-hmm. is now being openly defied repeatedly by the executive branch, and they're doing nothing but huffing and puffing and going on Rachel Maddow and acting like it's terrible.
They have
redefined to work.
They have redefined executive privilege.
Yes.
And
how did
Corey Lewandowski say executive privilege? Like, I was caught stealing in the supermarket, but I'm asserting executive mm-hmm. privilege.
Right.
Mm, right.
Alan?
Well, there's one other point here, and that is the crucial part of this whole political process, and that's the United States Senate. You know, mm-hmm. these guys have got to, especially the Republicans, have got to be sitting there thinking, if I don't say something when it gets this bad, and David, I agree with you. I think everything mm-hmm. you said is correct. But at the point at which, you know, it looks like it is an impeachable offense, whether you want to use the word or not, mm-hmm. and that this guy is not doing anything about it, that these people are not doing anything about it. That, I think, could put some Republicans at risk in the United States Senate. And that's the huge goal in the 2020 election besides the president's.
So let's go back to the actual the complaint here and what's going to happen. So everything is under investigation by House Democrats. They're examining whether Trump and his attorney, Rudolph Giuliani, who was on with Chris Cuomo last night. That was
just remind me.
Saying, no, yes. No, I didn't. Yes, I did.
If I ever have a minor traffic violation, I'm not hiring Rudy Giuliani.
Why would he want to go on? That's so stupid. I mean, why would he face that, and why would the president let him go on?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I mean, he looked like such a fool.
Yeah.
They don't think he looks like a fool, and his strategy has won up to now. I'm sorry, the whole defense he made of the president during the Mueller report worked out to their advantage, so he does not see it that way. I fault Adam Schiff for the same thing. Why is he talking to Rachel Maddow? Go get Lawrence Tribe, one of the best constitutional lawyers in history, and hire him. Don't just interview him. Hire him to be doing the questioning in Congress. We don't even forget the complaint for a minute. The process of a complaint, a whistleblower complaint, getting to Congress. He was sitting in a closed session and refused to tell them what it is. Mm-hmm. These are elected people. That's appalling, and it's a direct constitutional affront. There is what has happened to the separation and the shared powers.
I've been saying this from the very beginning. You know, the Congress, let's be very honest here. It's never been about actually getting the answers that you necessarily need. It's the theater, right?
Yes.
And so why wouldn't you hire a group of attorneys that just sit at these hearings? And when there is a refusal, when there is the false invocation of executive privilege, why aren't you deferring to one of these lawyers and saying, here is a memorandum of law as to what executive privilege covers and what it doesn't cover.
And
by the way, if you refuse to answer this question right now, I'm directed to walk across the street and file you know, a lawsuit.
Contempt of court, even. Why are we discussing, we're considering contempt of court. He was totally in contempt of Congress. Why is there not
And Congress has to have a vote. Congress has to take a vote before they can do that. But why not have, why not do those things preemptively?
Exactly.
Right? If there is an invocation, we're going to move forward and sue these people. And let that be your headline the following day, as opposed to letting these guys leave Washington as if, you know, unscathed.
So what do you think is the reason? Maybe, Alan, you can address this.
And by the way, when you're as old as I am, you remember the Army McCarthy hearings and some
have
of this other stuff.
Have you no shame.
Yeah, right. And you and the lawyers who have been brought on by the committee, like Mr. Welch and others, had their moment. They were able to. The others could ask their questions, but in the end, it was the lawyers who really did the work.
So you had a question for Alan?
I did. What's your explanation for Congress being so incredibly passive? Why are they letting this all happen? Why are they not saying? And impeachment's far. Okay, I agree with you. That's not the step for right now. Mm-hmm. But why isn't there a contempt of Congress vote at least scheduled in Congress? Right now, what's the advantage?
Well, we know the answer. We know the answer to that question.
I don't know the answer. So
well, you do. You do actually, because the speaker is determined to protect the people, the blues, who won in the last election, and she knows, and we've heard it from people like Anthony Brindisi here in Utica and others. Mm-hmm. They are at risk for losing their seats if they go with impeachment. So the speaker protects them, and the word goes out, we're not doing this. That's what's going on.
So in the two minutes... What?
I'm sorry. That's just impeachment. I'm talking about lesser but still more active measures than
having... Okay, there's
an
answer to that, too. They're stupid. I mean, you know... When you see some of these people asking their questions, you say, hey, man, you're more interested in your 3 minutes in the sun than you are in getting this thing done.
So two things, and we have to go to a break. First of all, I know none of this is funny, but I do have to say that I giggled at the president's tweet when he said, is anybody dumb enough to believe that I would say something inappropriate with a foreign leader? And I was like, oh, me, yeah. I do.
I think we have consensus.
Yeah,
everyone.
I believe that. David Soares, real quick in the minute. If you are with all of this hand-wringing and trying to get this information, the White House and everyone says, no, you're not going to get the information, how do you get the information?
You have to go to judiciary. You have to file lawsuits. You have to challenge everything that is being done. Mm-hmm. Right now there
is... Do you get it, though, through that process?
Well, we have theater right now, right? So it's the immediacy now is what you can get in 2 minutes on a broadcast, right? And lawsuits take a lot longer, but mm-hmm. you need to hire people and have those people who are going to validate your positions, just like you're saying, Rosemary's saying. Giuliani's on TV,
but
there's nothing that stops having a constitutional lawyers on every single network.
Yep. But I want 10 seconds of David's last minute, and that is. The problem with the Supreme Court issue is everybody knows when you go to that judiciary, David, by the end, it ends up in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court are a bunch of dupes for this president.
But even before it gets there, Alan, I think, you know, last night we learned about Ukraine. Washington Post posted the story. A minute later, New York Times posted the story.
Right.
I think the people are leaking. I also know that the whistleblower has hired her or his own attorney to fight back. And so I think here as the courts are so prodding, and then if it gets to the Supreme Court,
there's a much larger issue here with Ukraine. We can talk about that.
I respect you all, but you're wrong.
We're going to play the flute to 30-30, and we'll be back right after this.
Just like on television, this heart full of ambition has been haunting my dreams, reaching for grander things, and I never
Green Sky Bluegrass playing Fresh Grass, the Fresh Grass Festival at Mass Boca this
Beautiful.
Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Freshgrass.com, another cool event that is taking place in our area. And all these cool events, the Adirondack Balloon Festival and Fresh Grass and the Peace Festival and the Native American Festival. They all have beautiful weather this weekend. It's all good stuff.
I'm just saying, when you talked about fresh grass, you got my attention because I thought you were promoting something else.
Bluegrass music.
Right, I'm just saying, I was sitting, you got my attention, Joe. I was like, what?
Well, first of all,
it's legal in
Massachusetts.
Area.
It's legal.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. So it's back off, grass. Prosecutor.
There's no one you need to arrest here, David.
Fresh grass, funky grass.
Stanky-D for the work.
Yeah. But David, while you're at it, since you're kidding around about this, where are you on the marijuana question?
I'm done fighting the war.
So you're ready.
I'm ready to take on market regulation on the issue, but I really want our state to invest significantly in two things. One, making sure that we are protecting our roads and we have the technology to be able to maintain safe public roads. But also there is an issue of equity here, because I tell you what, Alan, I cannot see myself being asked to prosecute people who, for the last several years, prosecute poor people, and now we're, rewarding people on Wall Street who have the ability to put these companies.
Who trademarked various names for marijuana distribution decades ago. They were all prepared.
It's unconscionable, the idea that the entire, this economy will people who have been suffering under it will be left out of it. That's unconscionable.
And while we're on the subject, and very quickly, from my perspective, I just don't want New York to move on this any too quickly, because Massachusetts is making out like bandits as a result of this. In the first 7 months, just Little Great Barrington got an extra $1 million. 7,000 people got $1 million into its coffer. By now, it's got to be a couple of $1 million. Just because all those New York license plates are coming over here. So whatever influence you have, David, to make sure that they don't do the right thing over there, will you use it?
Absolutely, we'll use it. But I want to make sure that I'm perfectly clear here. The idea that you're going to reward someone on Wall Street and have them pour millions of dollars in their pockets for the same offenses that we've been prosecuting people on Third Street for is unconscionable. And New York has to. We're the greatest state, and I believe that we can find that balance.
Mm-hmm. Greater than Massachusetts?
Well, this is where I live, Alan. I mean,
me too.
Greater than Great Barrington, surely.
Laura writes
now,
to us.
Now.
There goes the flute.
All right, let's go to the letters here. Gene says, why can't they throw them in jail? Didn't Lewandowski commit contempt of Congress? That was a question that Rosemary brought to bear. We also have this letter from Joe, who says, doesn't the public need to demand a change in Justice Department policy that a president can't be indicted? The president has never been and probably will never be removed by Congress. Indict the alleged criminal, and if the defendant's attorneys request, allow a stay of prosecution until the defendant is out of office.
By the way, that's a brilliant letter, and it's so true.
Yeah.
Who ever said that that any person in this country was above the law just because some stupid Justice Department memo says that? I had a very close relative ask me just the other day, where is that written? And I say, is it written in some Justice Department memo? Yeah. Who said that they should make up the rule?
Which is exactly true. I mean, we don't have to have the public weigh in on the issue. You just have to have someone in the Justice Department really change that issue.
Yeah. Yes.
A Justice Department memo does not, and I hate to use the word, trump the Constitution of the United States.
Well,
it has been, though.
I think the problem with, yes, it's a short DOJ memo typed on a typewriter. And then, what are we going to do with the current whistleblower situation? I think our system is not set up to deal with a president that is flouting the law the way he is, or in the future she may be.
I would take exception to that, and I would say this only in this regard, right? The Constitution of the United States, it's nearly perfect, right? It's one of the most perfect documents ever created. Our structure of government is perfect. No one could have foreseen an entire party, an entire house just abandoned.
Okay. I accept your friendly amendment.
To the president.
Yeah, that is true. The checks and balances have been run right over.
Yeah, the guardrails are off.
The Senate. Yeah. And you see that in the current. Yeah, you can. They have. You can see the problem in right now in our situation with the whistleblower, where the president is supposed to be the one who stops this, who makes sure, and he's the one doing it. There's nothing in that law that foresees the president being the wrongdoer.
Well, this is why Jim Comey. Yeah. I mean, you're talking to the president of the United States, who is in a serious dialogue over dinner, and this man is asking you to stop an investigation.
Correct.
Yeah. If you're receiving that information mm-hmm. from the top man, what do you do? Yeah. Well, he did what he did, and he's been vilified for it.
He's vilified for other things.
Well, he's vilified.
He richly deserves vilification
for it.
That's
true. But, you know, I'm just waiting for Trump to do what he said he could do, which is let's go out on Pennsylvania Avenue and shoot someone in the face.
His lawyers made that argument in New York yesterday.
The memo yesterday by the lawyer memo was also you can't investigate the president.
So yep.
It's the new filing, and it's not a coincidence that was filed yesterday. And I mean, the whole idea of
anything he wants, any secret, any classified information, he can tweet it. Okay, tweet it. Tell it to a foreign agent, and it's okay because he's the president.
Right. I just want to bring this back. I just want to bring this back to an issue that I don't think we've discussed, and I haven't seen it discussed. But you know, we just spent 3 years talking about interference in our election, right? Mm-hmm. So being invaded by an outside force. The reason why this particular issue with the Ukraine is so important is because now we are inviting an outside nation
literally
to
inviting.
Provide us with information.
Quid pro quo, actually. Here, we'll give you this, you give us that.
And that's one issue. Mm-hmm. But the other issue is that you're talking about the Ukraine. You're talking about Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
Absolutely.
And one of our, you know, one of our mortal enemies, right? And the effect on the effect on geopolitics.
One of our former enemies.
Unclear, Joe.
Unclear, right?
Frenemy.
Our frenemies. But we're saying, right, in a geopolitical context, we're saying, hey, look, we're going to withhold all of this money that we've promised to provide you for the defense of your borders against this, you know, our frenemy, we're going to withhold that unless you help us somehow gain an advantage in our politics in the year 2020. That is just amazing.
And
I've been saying for 3 days now that it's, as we've tried to figure out what this is all about, that it was Putin. And now it turns out it's the Ukraine. As I said, it's Putin.
It's still Putin.
And remember, Zelensky, the new president who just came in May, is the comedian, but he's kind of viewed as a tad less corrupt than the previous president of Ukraine. And so he may have been...
that's where our standards are now. He's a little less corrupt.
But, you know, he's new.
Now with 10% less corruption.
He's new. And I just want to... And I think he's smart. And I wonder if he recorded any of these phone conversations. Remember during the campaign when President Trump said, Russia, if you're listening... You know, so are the recordings of this conversation.
To me, the most horrifying thing is that American people are listening to this and 41% still think he's doing a hell of a job. New Hampshire is considering Cory Lewandowski, who says the only time he has to tell the truth is when he's under oath. They possibly will vote him in as their senator. Come on.
I don't think Cory Lewandowski is going to get elected.
Well, I hope
US
you're right,
Senate
but Trump is president, so I don't take complete hope against that. But you talk about power of the people. The power of the people is it's with Trump. Oh my goodness.
Well,
we're in trouble.
No, it's not. He doesn't. I mean, he has the base, and the base is slowly eroding. I don't think Trump has the power of the people at all.
Well, I think back to my old civil rights and anti-war days back in
Poll
the 60s
data.
And 70s, and we were regarded as fools and unable to do anything, but we did spark a movement that made a difference. And I think that the whole climate thing ties right into this. We need to get young people, we need to get people, not Congress people, actually out on the streets, making difference, voting for the right people, changing the situation. And it's not going to happen from the top down.
In the 60s, I was, in the 60s, I was part of that movement. But now that I'm an old woman, I see that that is not true. Kids on the street, people on the street do not change gun laws. They do not make climate rules. They do not roll regulations that took years, decades to get into place back in. They've all been obliterated.
Well,
you need Congress.
Some of them end up in power.
I said back before this man was sworn into office, I said the Democrats have to be very strategic in how they live with this person, this man's presidency. And I talked about how the Democrats needed to continue to talk about infrastructure, needed to talk about investment and job creation, and continue to hammer that
point. Makes a difference to the ordinary person?
But the Democrats fell right into the trap of just taking on everything that this president did.
Reacting
to it. So now you're caught up in this drama, and you're not talking about the issues that are important to people. People want to talk about jobs. They want to talk about
issues.
Security.
Yes. Healthcare.
We have to go to a break. One struck by one thing that Judith was saying about if the Russians were taping these conversations
or
Ukrainians. One of the interesting things that the Washington Post made this point in an interesting article about the Russians have been actually better in tweeting out and putting out information as to
the readouts,
the readouts of what these phone calls have been. Certainly much better than we have, because we've done away with the readout policy.
Yeah, you don't have
Why
the stenographers
not?
Anymore.
Their guy looks great in those readouts. Of course, they're promoting them.
Well, we get
a fine readout.
It's the transcript of the conversation.
But you find out more.
Get it,
For years and years, you literally had typically young women who transcribed all the phone calls, the meetings, the discussions, and Trump has stopped that practice in most situations. Remember, he took the notes of the interpreters when he met with Putin and ripped them up?
Yeah.
Well, that's comforting. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We welcome your letters. Joe Bruschak will take us into break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you all with us, and we welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org, Alan Chartok, Judith Ink, David Soares, Joe Bruschak, and Rosemary Armeo make up our panel this morning. We got a lot to talk about, so we're doing that this morning and trying to keep up with all that's going on. I just have a couple of letters that will bring us into some other directions. But first, this one from Charles. It says, do cabinet members take an oath? They do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Of course.
Except the oath that they took is not to the Constitution of the United States. It's to be as loyal to this particular clown as possible.
John says, I believe today's demonstrations against climate change are a waste of time. The cause of climate change is overpopulation on planet Earth. There are not enough resources to support so many people, and there is no solution to this problem. Human beings are not going to stop having children, and billions of additional people will consume even more resources.
Who's that?
John.
I thought it was Thanos.
Yes.
Wasn't that Thanos' theory in the
there's
Avengers?
There's an Avengers reference here, so let's forget about that.
You know, we have no choice but to ignore the sentiment in that letter. I hear it a lot. I think it is fundamentally unethical and wrong.
Well, it's defeatist also.
And we can reverse things. I don't know if it's going to be fast enough, but there is a transition away from fossil fuels, and we finally are developing some political power, and you can't throw in the towel when it's the future of life on Earth,
Judith,
for humans.
I'm telling you right now that the PSAs, that for me when I was a kid, it was the Native American, on the hill
the
with the trash,
again.
And I saw the one tear drop, and I'm like, I'm not making a Native American cry. I'm never throwing a Coke can away again on the ground, even though the guy was later found out to be Italian and blah, 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 blah. That's another issue.
Ironized Cody, that's another story.
But I do believe, I believe that if we change the behavior in youth and in people, we can, in fact, you know,
Thank you, David.
We even have reduced the birth rate, let me point out
this
to you.
True.
The United States and Japan and other developed countries have very low birth rates. In fact, our economies are threatened because we have economies that are built on.
And that is linked to the status of women.
Correct. So you increase the status of women, the birth rate goes down. And,
all the time.
And the standard of living goes up.
Thanos has been masquerading as John using the Infinity Gauntlet to email us today.
Oh, my God.
I'm on you, John. On to you.
Let's
take away the
stone. Oh, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Have you been visiting Massachusetts?
The Fresh Grass Festival begins tonight.
Yes, Claude
has asked this question. Maybe I'm naive, but if all congressmen and women would vote for impeachment or at least vote to curtail the president's powers, what power would Trump have? He certainly isn't powerful enough to make sure every Republican would be defeated with a new person of his choice in the next election.
Yeah, you are naive. Sorry.
That's sweet. That's
I mean, they don't stand up because they're afraid they'll be primaried.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's not forget the Supremes also.
True.
Stop in the name of
stop in that. You know, I was almost going to say that, too.
My government. All right, I'll stop. I could do another verse. Stations are being clicked.
I do the Supremes on the flute.
She's been in Massachusetts, too. It's really a weird panel today.
We're all visiting Alan.
There is a pattern, says Anthony. Yeah, Anthony says there is a pattern that Trump is on that is as plain as the noses on our faces. It's the continuous barrage of standoffs with Congress and or Democrats. For all we know, Trump can be the whistleblower. While we speculate on what Trump may be doing wrong, his minions, Moscow Mitch, are placing conservative judges wherever they can and making sure the rich just keep getting richer. It's pure showmanship.
I agree with some of that. You know?
I don't think it has to be one or the other.
I think he creates chaos and keeps us paying attention to things here. And then we have a Senate that just continues to, let these people
disappoint
serve.
Us.
You know, and disappoint us.
Disappoint democracy.
But we have budget negotiations, short-term, budgets that Democrats will go right along with and not put an end to it all.
And what are their choices? David, in other words, I certainly agree with you that that's the state of things. But if Chuck Schumer and the other guys and Nancy Pelosi don't go along with it, they get blamed for the United States not meeting its obligations. I mean, what would you do if you were in their spot?
That would be
more than they're doing. I would be in court every day.
I thought it was a rhetorical question.
No, that was to you. He's looking for an answer there, buddy.
I thought it was a rhetorical question. You know something? Here's what I would do. I know that when number 44 was president, the profile of Mitch McConnell, was elevated immensely because he was the guy who was seen as the person opposing number 44. Mm-hmm. My question is, who is that person now?
Mm-hmm. So I want to switch back to the chaos presidency. And
what I would be doing is I would be on that screen every single day, and I would be fighting and getting my concessions every single day. That's what I would be doing, Alan.
Okay.
Well, you can say it, but you're not sitting there. They are, and they know what their choices are. Look, as I think Judith pointed out, or somebody pointed out a little earlier, Rosemary, a little earlier, 44% of the country support this guy and what he's doing. And the purples are the ones who are going to be hurt the most if we don't have a budget. I know who our audience is, and I know how everybody feels about this. But you can certainly sit there in your chair and say, fight harder. But, I don't know what they do.
Will there be any additional funding for his wall in this short-term budget?
You asking me?
Talking about taking even more from the military.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I understand you don't want to be responsible for shutting the government down, but you can certainly create provisions within your agreements as to how those dollars should be spent and can be spent. And you could hold the line on that.
Meanwhile, back in the land of the chaos presidency.
So I heard about this Ukraine concern in mainstream media about 3 weeks ago. And I remember thinking, this could be a real story. This is a problem. I hope it's looked at. And then, you know, 3 hours later, you have another insane story. And I think there's a practical problem for mm-hmm. both elected officials and more seriously with the media in terms of how do you keep covering the news, but how are you able to distinguish what needs the resources for the deeper dive? And I'd be curious as
well,
to...
Well, we touched on that yesterday. Mm-hmm. There is a resource problem.
There's definitely, yeah, I mean, you are the level resources of these stories. Like, look at the whistleblower story. They bring in national security experts. That's right. The top rank right. of investigative reporting or possibly organized crime, but they're related. You need regional experts. You need congressional experts. You need to convince people to talk, even though their jobs are at stake. This whistleblower, to identify the whistleblower, his or her job,
probably
future,
her.
Probably her. Yes, you've made most whistleblowers are women.
To tell you, I have
this
a problem. I have a well problem done. With the fact that we have the media setting the agenda for the American people.
Oh, bull. Mm. Trump no? is setting mm. the agenda. No, no. The media is trying to go after the most important story.
You've got a fool who sits in the presidency right now, and then you have a fool that does things every single day that we just latch onto. And it's wherever he wants to take us is where we go. And where the media goes, the American people go.
Listen,
right?
David, come on.
But here's the
problem.
Come
on. If the media didn't cover stuff, they get blamed for, you're ignoring it. If they do cover it, you're setting the agenda.
I'm not putting the blame on the media. I'm not putting the blame on the media.
Sounds like you are.
No, what I'm putting the blame on are legislators that should have an agenda. They continue to devote time and energy to that agenda and carry out and fulfill those obligations. And they can do both. You can walk and chew gum. You can still talk about rebuilding bridges. You can talk about building roads. You can talk about our infrastructure. You can talk about job creation, and you could work and do that.
Okay, I agree with you on that.
Still have your hearings on whether or not this guy.
That wasn't my point. Though my point was,
jeez, I lost him. How did you do that?
I was taking on.
But look at what you started.
There's a legitimate story that popped up 3 weeks ago, and then it faded because there were nine other.
No, Judith, it didn't
fade
until 3 weeks
until the whistleblower story came
back. No. 3 weeks they were. I know that they were working on it 3 weeks ago.
So we just didn't see it.
We work on stories, much smaller stories than this, and they take 6 months, 9 months. Unlike the view of many of the press that we just whenever we get an idea like Lawrence O'Donnell, we pop off about it. The level of proof is extremely high.
I'm not criticizing the media. I'm just raising the point that there's so much coming at all of us. Editors have to decide what is worth the limited reducing resources and what is not. And this story was not coming back until the whistleblower element appeared.
Now, the whistleblower coming out means that more people are now willing to talk about it. So they got a break. And I'm telling you, these are the best reporters and editors working on this story.
Confidence.
It's not like they said, okay, well, let's hold off on this for a while. No.
I wasn't suggesting that.
You cannot proceed with the story until you have a high level of proof, and they are just getting it now. David?
The happiest man on planet Earth right now is Justin Trudeau, who wore blackface, who no one's talking about, right?
Oh, that's... but it seems like he's being tanked by this. My point
to you is that given the fact that the media has such a great and immense responsibility in covering everything, the president of the United States chums the waters and he manipulates to a great extent.
And the legislators don't, David, except for Adam Schiff, who thinks he's a movie star and he's on TV.
Last two presidents who were under danger of impeachment, Clinton and Nixon, they would simply say, well, I never slept with that woman and I'm not a crook. It wasn't like every day there was another controversial statement or action.
Good point.
And because of that, it makes a huge difference we have to deal with. The war is not with those people. It's with the social media that is continually being manipulated and used in every living room in America to present a false narrative.
Let's stop there for a moment. Seems like a good place. Let everybody catch their breath. I know. Well, you were screaming. Why wouldn't you be exhausted?
She was screaming.
Well, he was screaming. Whoa. He started it.
They were actually strangling each other.
All right. So Joe's going to play us into a break.
Quick, Joe.
It's going to be a soothing sound.
Soothing.
And,
everyone
we'll have...
hold hands and breathe.
We'll be back.
Thank you.
Well, it is September 20th and 6 minutes past 10 o'clock. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Judith Eng, David Soares, Joe Bruszak, and Rosemary Armeo making up the panel. We have a lot of letters. Try to get to as many as we possibly can. Oliver says, marching and protesting is, by its nature, political. I myself support environmental protections and detest President Trump's deregulation stance. Yet it is a person's right to speak out against environmental protections if they so choose. Just application of rules is paramount. Impartiality demands that if students and or teachers can get a pass for one type of free speech gathering, passes for other free speech gatherings must also be allowed, and there can be some pretty ugly free speech out there. The logic behind this impartiality reasoning has been upheld in the New York State courts a few years back. I don't claim that logic and precedent are a consistent staple in our court system, but it's something we should always strive for. Sue says, isn't a major difference in the creation of this country that our leaders would be citizens, not royalty? Kings are above the law. Presidents were meant to be citizens. George Washington got it, didn't he? Maureen says, Corey Lewandowski and the DNI, whose hearing coming up are and will be perhaps in Congress, how can they invoke inherent contempt? What's the process? At least fine them. Maureen.
My blood pressure is back to where it needs to be. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't
I'll
allow
take care
myself
of that.
To, I can't. Allow,
yeah. Yeah, I'd like to make a little point here, though, with our Saratoga Native American Festival coming up in the tradition of our
Good
Native
plug.
People. The tradition of our Native people. When a leader misbehaved, the women would take him out of office.
Wow.
And that's an old tradition.
And hopefully that'll happen next
yes,
year in
right.
the election.
We need to think about that.
Well, that is also where it has been going. It's the suburban women who are traditionally or have been traditionally Republican who have been switching over. That's what happened with the New York State Senate, I believe. And I think it's what's happening across the country because women often, not every woman, but women have a sensitivity to what's right as opposed to what's political.
I'm just hoping you're going to say something so Rosemary can direct her ire at you, Alan. And not
well, me. Because Rosemary and I are... I have a mutual admiration society, so yes. I try to avoid that as much as possible.
I wish my children had this respect for my power.
Daisy writes, I would remind the panel that both parties dragged their feet on impeachment and investigations against Nixon, and moderate Democrats were part of the problem then as they are now. I believe maybe I'm naive that a tipping point is coming, but I also believe that if we don't protect moderate voices, we will end up with a Congress that is even more partisan than it is now.
That's a false
equivalence. Well, I'm a big Daisy fan. I got to tell you, she's a great writer. She writes quite frequently, and I think she's right. I think, by the way, that it's coming. You know, I don't think it's going to stop now. The fact is, the transgressions by this president and by Moscow Mitch and the other guys are going to end up. So that there is going to be a huge reaction to this after the fact, just as there was with Watergate. There'll be all kinds of special laws and everything else. I know, David, you may not agree with that, but I see that coming.
Oh, I think the fact that we've not seen the application of constitutional rule on a scale, which is the only reason I said what I said about Daisy's the false equivalence between what's transpired in the past and now. We've never seen anything like this. We've never seen, it's reckless behavior. We've just not seen the Constitution flaunted like this. And of course, what's going to happen, unfortunately, number 46 will be the most restrained executive in the history of our nation because of the laws that will pass, the Donald Trump laws that will be passed.
It could be, but also if the Democrats take control, you can be sure that Mitch and his pals will be making sure that what this guy's gotten away with will not happen with the next president. So they're going to, we know, we can just imagine what would happen if the House of Representatives today was Republican as opposed to Democratic.
Let's go to Vincent's letter, who says, I called Schumer's office, Senator Schumer's office, the other day to complain about how he and other Democrats were ignoring Trump's lawlessness. They hung up the phone. People need to occupy. Well, we don't know what they said either, but they hung up the phone. People need to occupy Washington, D.C. until Trump is forced to resign. Congress isn't working for the people. Think South Korea and Puerto Rico.
the anniversary. Isn't today the 2-year anniversary of Hurricane Maria pummeling Puerto Rico?
The air is humming. Something great is coming.
Doing a great job there, FEMA.
Yeah, but you know, the letter is troubling in that people need to occupy Washington. People need to get out on the streets, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And
they are today.
Well, yes, and that's good. I mean, it'll be great that they are today, one day. The question then will be, why aren't people, as in Hong Kong, out on the streets every day, considering what's been said about this president?
Good point. Mm-hmm.
And will they be able to get more people to come out in November of next year to actually vote? So, Laura says, good morning, panel. Would love to hear Judith's comments on changes made to the Clean Water Act.
It's linked to the story that shocked so many yesterday on three billion birds disappearing since 1970. Yeah, 29% decline.
And Judith, it's linked to the story that we read yesterday about cancer causing elements in
water,
our drinking water.
In the drinking water.
Yeah. So it's habitat loss. It's pesticides. We all. Remember Rachel Carson and Silent Spring. And the Trump administration rolled back yet another very important Obama environmental regulation that essentially protected wetlands and streams and tributaries. So it will result in more loss of wetlands.
What happens when these rules are rolled back? Is there an immediate effect? Do companies immediately go out and start putting poison into the water? And
sometimes.
Some have been waiting for the opportunity, actually.
Yeah, unless there's a lawsuit and everything is frozen. And, you know, the underreported story, not a criticism of the media, Rosemary,
I won't yell.
is that state attorneys general, including New York's Tish James and Maura Healey, and environmental groups like Earth Justice and Natural Resources Defense Council, are winning in court. They're winning most of their cases. Mm-hmm. So basically what's happening with a lot of these environmental rules are things are just frozen, and we're not getting the benefit of the improvement.
We have this letter from Crystal, who says, good morning. Beg to differ with the letter writer about the cause of our crisis. It's not the amount of people on this planet causing the problem we all face. It's runaway consumerism and economic inequality that is the cause. I believe everyone should do their part, and responsible leaders and not corporations should call the shots. Hooray for the young people taking the bull by the horns today.
But you know, it's interesting that some of the corporations who, and I'd love to hear Judith on this, who have been, like the car companies, who have been regarded as the boogeymen, the bad people, are all for keeping some of the rules that have been put in place by, for example, California, because they think it's good for the country and good for them. I'm fascinated by that.
Well, I think it's consumers that are demanding that. And I think corporations will ultimately conform to consumer demand. And if consumers are demanding more fuel efficiency and, products that are, biodegradable, corporations will respond or suffer.
Well, the fact that the Silicon Valley, which is basically underwater, could be underwater very soon, may make some people think about the realities of climate change. And the idea that Jeff Bezos today would make the announcement that they're going to become carbon neutral, very interesting.
Yeah, well, Amazon is just doing such terrible environmental practices. I mean, I take your points, but the reality is, Washington is now a wholly owned subsidiary of the fossil fuel industry, the chemical industry, the plastics industry. So the car example is a good one. California outsmarted the Trump administration, got the companies to agree. Yeah. But that is an outlier. And you have to think, who would possibly oppose more efficient automobiles, especially if the car companies aren't and consumers aren't? Well, it's the companies that produce the gasoline who want to keep producing more and more fossil fuels. But the grip that the fossil fuel industry has on this administration is truly unbelievable.
Well, as a Native American person, I can tell you that the fossil fuel industry in the United States, around the world, in Indonesia, in Nigeria, in Canada, where the tar sands are being used, is devastating the lives of indigenous people and the entire environment.
Yes.
So I am totally, totally opposed to the continuance of the fossil fuel dominance of this planet.
final letter for the moment, and this is from Carol, who says, if we don't get the climate change issue right, it won't matter what else we get right. Mm-hmm. I ask everyone to please contact your elected official and tell them to eliminate the subsidies to the fossil fuel industry that is heading us toward an uninhabitable Earth. Mm-hmm. Climate change needs to be at the top of any Democratic candidate's agenda, and the candidate needs to have the stamina to fight hard in this area. This needs to be fought like a war.
Yeah, we have to fight like hell because there is a lot at stake. And NOAA, the weather people who, you know, had their run at it a few weeks ago, they put out a report that 2019 is tied.
Who put out a report?
Judith. NOAA put out a report that NOAA. 2019 is tied for the second warmest year on record. So we really
do they
don't
have a Sharpie,
any time.
Though? That's the important thing.
There you go.
Judith, what about California? Well, do you predict that the feds will prevail, that Trump's administration will prevail and prevent California?
That's
from,
a good question. Yeah. I was wondering about that.
No,
too.
Because the Federal Clean Air Act from 45 years ago clearly gives California the authority to be stronger than the federal rules because air quality was so bad in Southern California back then. So Attorney General Becerra from California says he's fighting it. California will win.
The argument that I've heard is that the federal government granted that right, extended in law, and so that
right.
it is
that's
perfectly
right.
Well, you have
legit.
To go to, but you have to go to Congress to change it.
No,
I don't think they can do it
not.
Administratively.
No, I think Rosemary's right, as usual.
I'm not right. I'm asking a question.
No, I think you're right. That has everything that I have read says they're on solid grounds to take this away,
because
not emotional solid ground. Yeah, because they granted it, they could take it away.
They offer the waiver, but if they're arbitrary in not giving the waiver, I believe they will lose in court.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the deal. If we can see, if a president in 2020 is elected a Democrat, then all of this is for naught. Mm-hmm. In other words, it'll all change.
Yeah.
Other hand, if this guy gets elected again, I don't know.
Well, the other thing that I want to point out is car companies can voluntarily make more efficient vehicles if they want to. There's not a law that says you can't have more efficient vehicles.
Well, I think I'm certainly not the economist on the panel, and we do miss him. Today.
We do. Where is he?
He's at the Grass Fest.
probably playing a banjo somewhere.
I think that when you're a corporation and you've invested in technology, based upon the restrictions that were implemented with a prior administration, there has to be, a ton of resources invested there.
Right.
So how do you just turn that around on a dime? And if you're a company who depends on certain platforms, I don't think you can do that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. See, I think that's where there could be people power. Like, I'm not going to buy the old-fashioned light bulbs. I'm not. Mm-hmm. And if enough people did that, then we wouldn't go back. But
you're going to save money on your utility bill when you buy the new, more efficient
but
light bulb.
Already, though, the light bulb manufacturers are cheering Trump and
they're not
pushing the old guys out.
They don't have the same.
All of these issues, I assure you, all of these issues, before they come to a head in a court with authority, we will not have the same administration.
Right. But we miss, like on climate change, we miss such valuable time.
We miss opportunities to do something positive as opposed to preventing the negative.
Well, every year you delay, it makes it that the percentage of carbon emissions have to be deeper over a shorter period of time.
So then the question has to be asked, will we see the environment be the single issue, just like, the guns are for certain voters? They vote on one issue, and that's guns, right? Are we going to see the growth of an electoral base that becomes a single issue voter base, and that's going to be just the environment?
I don't know if it's going to be single issue, but climate change has now emerged as the top three issues for 82% of Democratic voters. Not the same thing with Republican voters. And then remember independents. And I haven't seen polling on climate and independents, but Republican polling on climate is a lot better. And there is a phenomena going on where young people are pounding their Republican parents for not being mindful of this issue.
We don't want people pounding each other.
Well, I hope you're right.
Verbally.
I hope you're right. I'm so cynical. I have this idea that there are some things that people tell their mothers and tell their pollsters because they know it's the politically correct thing to do as opposed to what they really feel.
Yeah, like Trump vote. Are you going to vote for Trump? A lot of people will say no, but then they will vote for Trump. So that's why we can't rely on the polls, and we have to act like whoever the Democrat is, we have to act like they are way behind. Because, A, they may be, and secondly, everyone has to work harder than they've ever worked before in 2020.
No question that you're right about that. And one of the things that is so troubling to me is the recent analysis, I'm sure you've all seen it, that at this time in his presidency, Barack Obama was even lower in the polls than this president is. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
It is. Let's see. We have just a few moments. Let me go to the final. Well, I do want a Justin Trudeau story. David, what do you make of it?
You know, I'm beginning to think that everybody's done this, and it's a terrible thing. I just want to know what the conversation before you actually put blackface on.
Three times.
Is this really a good look? Is this a good look? Come on, people.
It's unbelievable.
Just stupid. Don't, you know, come on.
It is.
And it's regardless because people say it was a different time. It was the 90s. It was the 80s. It was the 2000s. But it always seemed like you don't do that.
Dumb, I'm 78 years old. I never would have done it. It's ridiculous.
Well, so your point, Alan, though, and I think it's a good one, 78 years old. But at what point did even Amos and Andy come under fire? Right. You know, like that wasn't.
I never liked it. I mean, that was for exactly that reason.
That when they made the switch from radio to television, that came under fire. So it was. That wasn't a part of the time even then. I don't know.
Didn't make it right.
Right, you exactly.
Know, I hated it. I hated it.
I just want to hear the conversation, the 10-second conversation before Justin said yes.
And he's from a political family, right? They were probably plotting his political future.
Well, it is a colonial issue. When you think about the history of blackface, first of all, African Americans did the cakewalk to imitate the stupidity of a way white people danced. Then minstrel shows introduces as if it were an African American tradition, wearing blackface. And this was so pervasive throughout this country that in the early 1900s, everybody took it for granted that an entertainer, including African-American entertainers, would cork themselves up to do this. I lived in Ghana, West Africa, and Ghanaians in the 1940s were doing blackface as comedic routines. So it's a really terrible thing. It's a colonial mentality. Mm-hmm. The fact that anyone could accept it, even in the 1970s, is astonishing to me. But the stupidity of young people, Justin Trudeau is no example, can often be measured by what happens to you in the future. Mm-hmm. And Trudeau is in a very bad situation right now. The Conservatives may end up controlling the Canadian government as a result of this. And before I go any further, let me say, Canada is not the multicultural paradise that people pretend it is. As a Native American person, I can tell you, we have gotten the short end and the dirty end of the stick continually from the Canadian government.
Particularly over tar sands.
Tar sands, you know, all of the mineral wealth under Native American lands belongs to the country, not to Native people. Things like that very few people know about. So don't be surprised if Canada has done things that are racist or people like the poster boy Trudeau.
But I'm fascinated by the by the Conservative Party yelling at Trudeau.
Oh, I know.
Over this thing.
It's like,
really
you're so mad.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time. My thanks to everybody. It was really amazing. So 11 o'clock.
See you at the Climate March.
And Joe, real quick, the 11th annual Saratoga Peace Week begins this weekend and will be going all week. And don't forget the Saratoga Native American Festival taking place September 22nd at Congress Park. We'll let you take us out. Thank you all.